Amen. All right. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Marcus, I'm so glad you're here today. Recently, he was having some serious health troubles. Did you guys know this? Well, you know it now, so work with me, right? And his wife, Elizabeth, obviously being a devoted wife, right, she takes him to the doctor, right? So she goes and takes Marcus to the doctor for this checkup, see what's going on. And the doctor called Elizabeth alone back into the office. And here's what he said to her. He said, hey, Elizabeth, I'm sorry to tell you, but your husband, Marcus, he's suffering from a very severe disease. Combined with horrible stress, if you don't do the following, your husband will surely die. Here's what you need to do. Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant to him. Make sure he's always in a good mood. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal that he can take with him to work. And for dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him. And don't burden him with chores. I mean, that could further his stress. Now, men, how many guys would like to have this disease with Marcus? See him after service. Say, hey, dude, what'd you eat? I want that, right? Okay, but anyway, and that's not all. He says, here's what else you need to do. Don't discuss your problems with him, right? That's only going to make his stress worse. In fact, Elizabeth, try to relax Marcus in the evening by giving him plenty of back rubs and encourage him to watch some type of team sporting event on TV. And most importantly, satisfy his every whim. And the good news is, if you can do this for the next 10 months to a year, Marcus will completely regain his health. So obviously on the way home, Marcus asked Elizabeth, he says, well, honey, what'd the doctor say? And Elizabeth said, you're going to die. You actually laughed at that. We're supposed to be Christians, man. But seriously, how many guys would say that whoever's marriage that was, okay, probably isn't going to end on a high note there. You know what I'm saying? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes in marriage, we can hit these low times, you know, say, in our marriage. And I guess that's why one guy said this. He goes, listen, I sacrifice my marriage all the time. I take my wife everywhere, but she keeps finding her way back. Remember, I balance it out, folks. I balance it out. Work with me. But seriously, here's my point. Is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage back in the Garden of Eden? It came from him. Okay. No. Now, we need to acknowledge that Adam and Eve blew it. That's why it gets kind of messed up over time. Okay, but the good news is, if you get back on track, and if you do it God's way, I kind of think he knows what he's doing. That's where marriage came from. Then listen, you don't have to live a life of personal pain and silent suffering. God never said it'd be easy. It's just going to take some time because of the fall of man. It's going to take some work. But the good news is, you can get back on track. You don't have to live that way. Marriages are not made in heaven, folks. That's a pipe dream. They're made right here on earth. And I'm telling you, unless you get this, you are not going to know how to deal with those changes that come after you get married. Like this guy shares. Watch this.
I'm a married man. Do we have some married people here? Good. Good for you. I've been married 23 years. And it's still good. It's just very, very different now. Like when I first got married, my wife would say things like this to me. I love when you lie right next to me and we're sleeping. I can feel your heartbeat. That was 22 and a half years ago. The other night she turned, she goes, can you roll over? You're breathing right on top of me. It's disgusting. It's hot. It's going on my neck and it feels gross. Who sleeps with their mouth that wide open? It's gross. Shut your mouth while you're sleeping. Use your nose. We've talked about this, haven't we? Use your nose. How are you going to feel my heartbeat if I roll over? I could care less. Just roll over. I could pass away in the night. You wouldn't even know about it. I'll live with myself. Roll over. Actually, go brush your teeth and roll over. And put some socks on, too. I don't want your feet touching me anymore, either. They're gross. Your nails are cutting me. It's disgusting. Brush your teeth. Cut your nails. You know what? You can stay downstairs, too. I don't even need you back up here. Let's both get a good night's sleep tonight.
So it's just a little different. That's all. My wife doesn't even get mad, though, after 23 years. She would rather have these little sayings she likes to use. It's a new favorite saying, did you mean to do that? Did you mean to put the clothes in the dryer and then not turn it on? Yes, I did. I let the clothes sit in there for a couple days, get them good and moldy. Then the kids can wear them to school. No one's going to want to hang out with them with moldy clothes, and they won't bring other kids back to our house and eat all their food. So, yes, I did mean to do that. Driving in the car last Valentine's Day, had the radio on, and people were calling in, and they were saying the special things that their spouses do to keep their marriage going. One lady from down south called, and she goes, Will,
Some nights on cold nights, my husband will put my pajamas in the dryer and then warm them up for me. I threw up in my mouth.
It changes, right? All right, after you get married. And folks, I'm telling you, this is why we're in our study, The Marriage Built to Last. How many of you guys want a marriage built to last? All right, you include with all these changes, you got to work with it. Well, it's pretty simple. If you got to get back doing it God's way, the first thing is you need to acknowledge that what? Men and women are different. The second thing we saw, love is an action. It's a choice you make every single day. You balance it out with what? Not just before, but after you have a need for romance, after you get married. And then the fourth way we saw with the need for communication, three times in a row, that's why it was important. And what's the whole goal? You communicate to lead to what? What we saw last time, reconciliation. What does that mean? It means to come back together again in love and friendship. Well, why is that important in marriages? Because, folks, let's be honest. Sometimes we say and do dumb things that you're going to need to reconcile over. Like this guy. Watch this.
This is not the way my mother makes it. Happy Valentine's Day. Because you're hot and steamy.
Don't you think my friend's pretty?
Yeah, I think your friend's hot. She's not hot. She's...
All right, pick a partner.
We're a team. We're a dynamic duo. She's my side chick. Side chick!
You know, you're just like your...
Say it.
You were right. I was wrong.
Oh, yes!
Hi, I'd like to order flowers for my wife. I wanted to say, baby, I love you, and you're the only one for me. You're not mad at me?
No.
You're sure?
I'm fine.
Okay, cool, because I thought... Why can't you be more like Jimmy's wife?
What?
I said, what?
I will never have a healthy marriage with those kind of statements, right? It's going to happen. And by the way, it goes both ways. Ladies, you can say some goofy things to it. And the good news is you don't have to put your spouse in a coffin every single time. You just need to reconcile. That's the whole point of communicating when these things come up. It's okay. Again, reconcile means what? You need to come back together again in love and friendship. It's possible. It's biblical, okay? And how we do that, we saw last time, is you refuse to give in to false expectations, refuse to give in to delay, refuse to retaliate, okay? Refuse to always be right, and refuse to hold back forgiveness, right? And there we saw that the whole point was we need to forgive just as in Christ God forgave us, Ephesians, right? Which is how much? Everything. All the time, right? Don't be the biggest hypocrite and say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. And then we saw you got to be specific, right? You don't just say, well, I'm sorry. Or I'm sorry you took it that way. Or you need to forgive. What was the deal? You want to get rid of that ickiness, that barb, that invisible wall because you guys did something you shouldn't have done, said something you shouldn't have said, both of you, one of you, whatever. Then you need to say, will you please forgive me? And fill in the blank. Now, for those of you wondering, you don't literally say, and fill in the blank, because that's not the point. You need to fill in the blank with what you did, right? And we saw it's not only great, but it works every single time. But the point is, if you don't, it's going to lead to this.
You know why people, like, fall out of love with each other? Because they resent each other. Mm. And you know why people resent each other? Because of unresolved stuff that they never had the courage to speak up and talk about. So eventually, one day... Right? Death by a thousand paper cuts. I'll say, hey, why did you guys get divorced? I don't know. We just fell out of love. No, you didn't. You know what happened? You guys couldn't communicate properly.
Which means you never got around to the purpose of communication and communicating properly, reconciliation. And it stacked up and stacked up, and then you fell for the lie. And this is what we saw. That's what people say. Well, it was just irreconcilable differences. No, that's not what's going on. People will end a relationship not because of irreconcilable differences, but rather because they simply refuse to reconcile the differences. That's what's going on. That's the power of reconciliation. But that's not all. Bob, I'm still preaching, so guess what? Dude, try to be enthused. Your wife's right there. I'm trying to help you. We got to stick together. All right, give it up for Bob. That's right. He's right. You need to go to Toasted and Roasted, dude. Get away from that decaf. But that's right. Hey, there is more, and it's this one. The sixth step is the need to what? Honor one another. It's a very, very important biblical concept. In fact, the Bible has very strong words. It's not something you do once in a while when you feel like it or just when you get in trouble. okay? You need to be devoted to this kind of treatment towards each other. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. We see this concept here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, a section where Paul talks about in Romans 12, what does biblical love look like? How are we supposed to treat each other? He, of course, expands on this also in 1 Corinthians 13, where men, if you go back into your nothing box and drag up the other box, you'll probably remember 1 Corinthians 13 was the famous love chapter that was read at your marriage ceremony. Okay, but Paul also reiterates here in Romans 12, what does this biblical love look like? And you're going to see that has everything to do with honoring one another. But Romans chapter 12, let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word, simply says this: love must be what? Sincere. Now, what does that mean? That means you don't do this.
Yeah, I love you.
Yeah, I love you. No, if you're going to love, it means to be what? If it's going to be biblical love, sincere. You got to really mean it. It's from the heart. But not only that, what do? Hate what is evil. Don't allow that stuff into your relationships. Cling to what is good. Hold on to it, man. Don't let it go. Focus on that, right? Not only that, he says be devoted. Now, stop right there. What does that word devoted imply? Dedication. I'm serious. This is my mission. Day in, day out. I am devoted to what? One another. In brotherly love. Well, how do you do that? Here you go. Honor one another. What's it say there? Above yourself. You may be seated if you can. Well, that's interesting. That's not what society says. Society says you come first. Self-love, self-respect, self-esteem, self. And so if anybody's going to be honored, it's going to be me. Well, that's the problem. The Bible says, folks, we don't just pretend to love one another. We need to show a genuine affection to one another. And not just once in a while. This is our devotion. We are devoted to this biblical mandate. This is a serious thing, right? Now, for those of you wondering, the word honor, you break it down. You go, honor, right? We think honor, we give honor, honor's due. We think of police, we think of military. And okay, that's great. But let me break it down for you in our relationship, certainly in our marriage. Honor means this: to show respect or value to another person. So when you're honoring somebody, yeah, I honor them. Okay, then you need to show respect and you show value to them. That's what it means. But if we're honest with ourselves, if we get around to honoring, it's just the opposite of what the Bible says. Because I would say not only our sin nature, the me, myself, and I, the unholy syndrome, that naturally is selfish and self-centered, right? And it's also this influx from society that it's all about self. And so if we get around to honoring, it's kind of lopsided. Like this, watch this. Women, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think finally I got it dialed in, right? This is, women are honest. They're loyal and forgiving. They're smart, knowing that knowledge is power, but they still know how to use their softer side to make a point. Women want the best for their family and their friends and themselves, and their hearts break when a friend dies. They have sorrow at the loss of a family member, and yet they're strong when they think there is no strength left. A woman can make a romantic evening unforgettable. And women come in all sizes and colors and shapes. They live in homes and apartments and camps. They drive, they flock, they fly, they walk, they email, they text just to show you how much they care about you. In fact, the heart of a woman is what makes the world spin. Women do more than just give birth. They bring joy and hope. They give compassion and ideals. And they give moral support to their family and friends. And all they want back is a hug or a smile, or for you to do the same to the people that you come in contact with. And men, quote, men are good at lifting stuff and killing spiders. Okay. I think that's a little lopsided there. Not just because I'm a guy, but I'm kind of thinking there's got to be at least a couple more besides lifting stuff and squishing spiders, right? But this is what we do in all seriousness. If we say we're getting around to honoring each other, it's usually lopsided. But the Bible says you want to do true biblical love towards one another. You want to be devoted to something. You honor one another, but it isn't honor one another. What does it say? Above yourself. The focus is on the other person. You need to be devoted to that. And you're going like, well, why? Because here's what happens. I call it the invisible killer in marriages. I've dealt with this so many years with many couples. And when you start doing the investigation, you go, now I understand why you're in this state, because you have dishonored one another for a long time. Because here's how it works. The Bible says we honor the other person even to the point where we make it a top priority to honor them above ourselves. And the reason why is because what I've learned, if we don't honor one another from the start, here's what happens. It leads to a shriveled heart. It's the invisible killer. Every time we dishonor our spouse, we basically take the wind out of their sails. We say, hey, man, you are not valuable to us. You are not important to us. You're not worthy of our respect. And you keep that up over the time, you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up with a shriveled heart, a silent spouse, and you're going to turn into this couple. Watch this.
But my husband and I met, and I was so cute, and I was little. I had on little britches, and my thyroid was functioning, and I felt good. And he was so enthralled with me and so in love with me and pursued me and bought me presents and vacuumed out my car and did all kinds of things for me. And we celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary this year. Thank God. And now I truly believe he would not pull me out of a burning vehicle.
What happened? You go from vacuuming the car, I'll do anything for you to, yeah. You're going up in smoke. Well, some of the reasons how couples get into that situation is you don't honor one another. You do the exact opposite. You dishonor one another. It is so powerful, positive or negative, if you do it dishonoring. It doesn't take weeks. It doesn't take months. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take long to take your new, exciting, vibrant relationship and it turns into a dry, stale, old one like that. And so we're going to take a look at some ways to avoid that shriveled heart, get back to honoring our spouse. And I'm going to break it down for you so you go, I don't know how to do it. Well, you're going to know before we leave. And there's three ways that you can do it that we need to be devoted to if we're going to protect us from getting those shriveled hearts. The first one is with your words. The words are one of the easiest ways to honor or dishonor your spouse. And that's the dichotomy that James brings out in James chapter 3 with the power of your words. What are you bringing with your words? Are they good? Are they bad? Watch this. He says this, very strong language. James 3, 5 through 6. So also the tongue is a small thing, but whew, what enormous damage it can do. Amen? Yeah, we learned that one the hard way. It's full of wickedness. That can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction. Watch this, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Whoa, that's in the Bible, folks. So obviously this person has been eating chicken. Their halitosis is over the top. It's like melting the seat in their car. No, he's not talking about bad breath. He's talking about bad words coming out of your mouth. Strong words about the power of your words. What do you bring with your mouth? Honoring things? Are you bringing life or dishonoring things or death? That's the choice. And there's two things we need to do with our mouth if we're going to honor and be devoted to that with our mouth. The first thing is, with your mouth, you need to stop cutting each other down. With your mouth. Okay? In fact, to help you remember this important point, it's been put to music. Seriously. Music is a powerful way to get us to remember. You know, a little jingle. They do that with commercials, right? I am stuck on Band-Aid because my name's stuck. They know what they're doing because it gets stuck in your head and you can't forget it. So I'm here to help you, right? There's just certain things that you shouldn't say with your mouth. Just don't do it like these guys share. Watch this.
You hear the baby screaming, but you act like you're asleep. Don't do it. Don't do it. Laughing is a no-no when she says, how do I look? Don't do it. That's ridiculous. If she says she spells love T-I-M-E, don't grammatically correct her. If she says you both should give 100%, don't tell her that's impossible
mathematically.
Don't do it. Stop. Must stop it. Cut it out. Never leave an argument by yelling out, well, fine. Don't do it. Unless she was asking how your day was, and you said it was more like, well, fine. that's okay.
She makes dinner, she needs to do the dishes.
He's kidding.
I was.
That's your job. Never tell her jokes like, what do you do when the dishwasher stops working? You tell her to get back to work. No, that's not funny. Maybe just a little. Don't even think of laughing. Oh, don't. Do re mi fa sol la ti. Don't do it now. Stop, must stop it. Cut it out. Always ask about her day. Help her fold the laundry. And don't forget to spray
Lysol in the bathroom.
If you do these, you will see. You'll make her so happy. And your marriage will be sturdy.
Like an oak.
Certain things you don't do. And hopefully that gets stuck in your head, man. The next thing you're tempted is something, you're going, I don't know about you. Don't do it. Just don't do it. And I get it. And here's all serious. There's two things we need to look out for with our words cutting each other down. The first temptation is we try to excuse it away, kind of like that video. It's kind of funny. But see, that's what we do. We say something, we cut each other down, and we say, well, I'm just being funny. I was just kidding. Or come on, I was just joking around. Lighten up. Now, what I've learned, and my wife's here, she can verify this. We have a lot of humor in our house, right? We have sarcasm in our house, to a point. You got to be careful with that because you can get a little too dangerous there. But one thing, and so I'm not against you being funny, right? I'm all about that. Me personally, it's like, man, life is tough enough as it is this side of heaven. If you ain't got a sense of humor, boy, is it much harder, right? So lighten up a little. So I'm not saying you can't be funny. I'm just saying the first lesson is you need to pick your time. And we've all made this mistake. You're trying to be funny, but your spouse is not in the mood. You ever hit that wall? They're just not into it. And then usually as guys, we make it worse because then we say, well, it's time to press in even harder. So I'm not against being funny, right? But be careful. Are they really ready for it? That's mistake number one. Number two, again, I'm not saying you can't be funny, right? But it's also pick your place, not just the time. It's one thing to joke around with each other behind the scenes in private. It's another thing to do it in public. Ooh, that's double negative points. Don't cut each other down in public. It's like these guys in public. Watch this. One guy shared at a company party in public. He said that, hey, speak up really loud. Hey, my wife, she not only dresses to cook, to kill, she cooks the same way too. Well, that prompted another guy to say, oh yeah, well, my wife drives like a lightning bolt. Another guy pipes up and he goes, well, is that because she drives fast? He goes, no, it's because she hits trees. Ladies, let's be honest. It ain't just us guys. You do it too, right? As this lady shares, watch this.
I think every woman who has a husband imitates their husband in the same exact way. We all have that same husband voice, and this is it. Yeah, so my husband comes home and is like, I don't know why, why. He didn't tell me why. You're cute. Yeah, you're cute when you're a boyfriend. As soon as you're a husband, you have buck teeth and you talk like this. I don't know. And when you're married for a really long time like me, we hunch our backs. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you laugh because you do it, right? It's true, right? It works both ways, right? So I get it. Want to be funny? I'm not against that. Pick your time, but pick your place. I'm telling you, that shouldn't be your goal to score any negative points, but you want double negative? Do it in public. That's why one guy said this, you know, the person that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You're a liar or a mannequin because that ain't true. Listen, we know this. We know this growing up. All it takes, the power of a negative word, even just one negative word, can stick with you and your heart and your brain for a lifetime. Could have been that teacher in school. Could have been the kids at school making fun of you, doing something, saying negative. Could be that parent growing up. Don't do that to each other. Hey, funny, I'm all about humor. Got to have some humor, man. But pick your time, pick your place, be careful. So with your mouth, stop cutting each other down. So what do? You do what you're supposed to do, be devoted to, start using your mouth, as James would say, to bring life, not death. Do something special with it. Now we're going to take a look at another technique that we saw in our previous study about, remember the romance, and it was all a journey, watching the behavior of that young couple in the Song of Solomon, all the techniques they were doing to keeping the fire going, the passion going in their marriage. Well, believe it or not, there's another technique here that they used in their relationship about making each other feel special with their words. Watch this. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 2 through 3, says this. Watch this. Like a lily among the thorns is my darling, among the maidens. So that's what he's saying about her. She flips around and says this. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover, among the young men. Woo! Wait! And you're like, okay, what's the big deal with that? Well, they're using a word picture. We saw before word pictures. The Bible uses all kinds of word pictures, but they're using it as a technique to express with their mouth just how special their spouse is. And that's what it said. She's as eye-catching to me as a lily among a whole big giant bed of thorns. And right there in the middle is this special, right? And then she flips around and says, man, he is as unique as finding an apple tree in the middle of a forest. And I got to be honest with you, Brandy and I, we came across this probably our first couple of years of marriage. We were at a marriage conference, and they shared this kind of technique, right? And to be honest with you, I got the concept, but this lily and the thorn thing, it didn't work for me, so I fixed it. Yeah. I made it work for us. And she's here. You could ask her after the service. This is what I did. I said, hey, Brandy, you're not just a lily among the thorns, but you're a cheeseburger in a bucket of chicken. Every once in a while, I pop that baby on her, and she goes, yeah, that's right. Right? And now, why does that work? Why do we laugh? Because if you know, like my wife knows, that I hate chicken and I love cow, what am I saying? You're super special. And so I challenge you, as goofy as it is, right? Consider this. Start using words to cultivate a sense of being special, even a word picture. And don't do it just because you got in trouble or just because you want something. Just do it. And again, maybe the cheeseburger and a bucket of chicken don't work for you, but do something. Figure it out. Something between you two. But it's almost like a little code word you could just pop out there and say, ma'am, you are special to me. That's a very important thing to do, that we need to add some spice, okay? Because the reality is this. We need to learn these techniques, folks, because we don't have the luxury of having one of these devices follow us around all the time. Watch this.
But I got my rental car in Dallas. You know, I had the GPS. Have you seen the GPS? Heard the GPS? GPS, love the GPS. Tells you what to do. That's beautiful. That's so nice. Drive along. Turn left now. Turn right up ahead. Turn around and go the other way. Then I get into Dallas. You're up on your own. Your guess is as good as mine. Good luck and may the force be with you, Luke. GPS. And when you make a wrong turn, do something bad, it's like, recomputing. Recomputing. Not, you moron. No. You idiot. No. Recomputing. Love that. They should have redneck GPS.
Huh? Turn left at Walgreens. You don't see a pit bull and a go-kart. But just keep it going.
No, you went up.
We're doing it again. Doing it again.
I want life GPS. That's what I want. You know, just tell me what to do in my life.
Your fly is down. Purchase gum. Your breath smells like a sewer.
But what we need is marriage GPS, guys. Marriage GPS. Wouldn't that be awesome? Just tell us what to do. Guys don't know.
Say something about her hair.
Hey, what's up with your hair?
Recomputing.
That would be awesome, man, if we could have marriage GPS, right? But we don't, right? So you just got to do it the old-fashioned way. Dare I say, you need to do it God's way. With your mouth, learn to cultivate a sense of being special. Hopefully something better than, what's up with your hair? Right? I say, get with it. Now, it could just be positive comment, could be a word pitch or whatever. And again, it's not just once in a while. It's not just when you want something. It's not just when you're in trouble. Listen, you do it consistently, you'll see consistent results. I love this guy. He says, listen, try praising your wife even if it frightens her at first. Especially if it's been a while. What's happened to you? Did you get rabies? What's going on, right? But here's my whole point. Can you imagine the side effects of just this first way to honor one another, especially if it's been a while? Watch this. Can you imagine what would happen if we spend the same amount of time praising our spouses that we normally do, picking them apart? Probably would frighten them, but do it anyway. Because here's how it works, folks. When you start giving special words, your spouse starts to feel special. And then they feel special about you. And then they feel special about the marriage. And you know what it does? It protects you from getting a shriveled heart. But that's just your mouth. The next way is this, your actions. We know this, right? What do people say? Don't just say it. Show it or do it, right? So it's one thing to say your spouse is special. We get to back it up. It's a wonderful two-bang punch when you do this with your actions. And one of the easiest ways to do this with your actions is simply by your greeting. And this is something that the early church really excelled in. It was very important in maintaining healthy relationships, yes, in the church. Let's see how many times you can guess what that technique was, right? Romans chapter 16, as Paul ends out the chapter, he says this, 3 through 16, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also to all the churches of the Gentiles. And also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius and my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among apostles, who were also in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia and Nerus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with the holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, I know it's late in the morning, but I think you guys can get it. I hope you went to Toasted and Roasted and didn't get the decaf, but your brains are functioning. You're going to get this right. But how many guys can figure out what was the secret agent technique? What methodology did the early church use to maintain positive relationships? It's called greeting. It's powerful. It is. Well, that's what churches do. You got to have greeters at the door because that's what you do. It ain't just what we do. It's biblical because we want people to know what? We're glad to see you. And it's a biblical concept. Not just see visitors, but each other. We're a family. I'm glad to see you. Haven't seen you since last week. Haven't seen you since Wednesday night. Haven't seen you since Friday at the bowling thing. It's the Greek word. Greet is, listen, it's the Greek word aspazomai. And it means this, to not just greet, it means to bid welcome and to receive joyfully. Hey. Because we all know an effective greeter when you come through these doors. You better not be doing that or we're going to lay hands on you. Right? But this is what the church excelled in. Greet, 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 greet. What? And let me break it down. Welcome. I receive you joyfully. That's what that word means. The Bible is very clear, not just in our church relationships, but how much more in our marital relationships. We're Christians, after all. That we need to receive each other joyfully every time we meet our spouse and greet them with high esteem. Like this guy's wife did. Watch this. There's these two guys talking one day, and the first guy said to the other, he goes, man, he says, my wife, she thinks so much of me that she won't even let me do any of the work around the house. It's incredible. And the second guy goes, that's nothing, man. He says, my wife, she apparently thinks that I am God. He goes, what are you talking? What do you mean? What do you mean to say that? Thinks you're God. He says, it's easy because every night she places a burnt offering before me. Yeah, pray for Andy. And take him to Toasted and Roasted, get him fattened up a little bit. So it's going to be a long week. But that guy felt he was esteemed by his wife. He probably said that in private. She wasn't there. But anyway, but my point is, we don't need to sacrifice a burnt offering, okay, to each other. But listen, we do need to, listen, sacrifice a joyful greeting when your spouse comes home. Very powerful, very effective. And the reason why is because the meal might not be the only thing going up in smoke. Your marriage might be headed that way too. It's powerful. And let's be honest, because when you come home, man, there's nothing worse than being greeted like this.
Oh, it's you. Well, it's about time you got here.
Or worse yet, you don't get any response. Go back to the church greeting. How would you like it if you came to Sunrise and we go, oh, it's you. Or the first time you ever came here, we said, oh, well, it's about time you got here. Chop, chop. Or worse yet, and unfortunately this does happen to churches, you're ignored. I told you the story of my wife and I. We did this for 3 months. We visited a church. 3 months. And not one single time did anybody even say hi to us. It became a joke. We started laughing. How do you cope with this? We were joking. We're like, maybe we should try a different brand of toothpaste. I'll try different deodorant. But we every week we went with high expectations. Okay, listen, it's been 6 weeks. Surely this is going to be the week. And what we learned was, stop calling me Shirley, because apparently these guys are the most cold-hearted. And of course, did we stay there? No. We gave it 3 months. I think we kept going because it became humorous after a while. But if that's true in church circles, and if that's how we treat each other when it's time to greet one another, do you think it's going to go well in your marriage? No. It's the same biblical concept. Now, there's a couple problems that we make. Number one, I think the reason why we don't get up when our spouse comes home and joyfully greet them is because we're lazy. Back to that selfish, self-centered society. We have not only become selfish and self-centered, we have become extremely lazy. Like this guy shares. Watch this.
Lazy technology, the electric toothbrush. That always made me laugh. The electric toothbrush. What, is brushing your teeth too strenuous an exercise for some people? Got people going. Man, I am really feeling the burn here. Wish this thing had a motor on it. Why don't you just have electric deodorant? Like some people have, they have a rubber grip on their toothbrush. Brushing your teeth too fast there?
Oh my gosh!
I need to get some stick'em or something. But last year for Christmas, I got the laziest gift for my kids. They got me an alarm clock that projects the time onto the ceiling. Because y'all know how hard it is to go. No, this has got to stop right here. This is what I need, a Red Bull. This is taking it all on me.
Lazy, lazy culture. And folks, this is, we laugh because it's true, but it spills over not just in our daily life, it spills over in our marital life. Sometimes, even though we know we should get up and greet our spouse, you don't do it because we're just lazy. Another reason why is because things seem to change over time. And the way that we greet each other has changed. And the first step is we need to acknowledge that, right? Like this video shows. Watch this.
Baby, my sweet baby. La, 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 la.
It happens, doesn't it? Yeah, you feel like, man, what is that, an alien? Well, I'm just trying to come home. The first step in fixing it is to acknowledge that, hey, man, I'm off track. So stop being lazy, and if it's changed, then get back on track. And I'm here to help you. I'm going to make it super practical. Well, I don't know. I forgot. It's been so long. Well, I'm going to give you a visual. I'm going to give an example. It's very effective, and you won't forget this one. If you don't know how to greet your spouse at home, then start with the family dog. Look at the dog. The dog is the best. I'm not joking. I learned this from my wiener dogs, right? They're awesome. I got not one. I got two. I got one for each ear. I got them in stereo. These guys are genius. Get a wiener dog and get spiritual is what I always say. But every time you come home, man, you come home, what's the dog do? Well, first of all, stop. Get the cat thing out of your head. Cats ain't going to do this, right? So it's just, you got to think solely dog, 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 dog. Cats think they're God. You live to exist for them. No, dogs, what do? You come home, the dog, what's the dog do? It's that guy. The dog goes nuts. He can't believe you're there. Yeah. He's going crazy. And then the crazy thing about that is, that's not, and you like it, right? That's why you got a dog. They're cool. They do that. Cats are over in the corner. Right? A dog, he's so cool. And then the cool thing about them, I don't care what dog, you go, oh, you forgot something in the car. And you go back out of the car, 30 seconds later, then you come back in, what you do? He does it all, it's that guy, baby. So if you don't know how to greet each other, then watch the dog, okay? Now, I'm not saying jump on him and lick him, okay? That's going a little bit too far. But folks, here's the other thing. We know that, but then we reverse it. We actually give our dogs a better goodbye than our spouses. Watch this.
Bye, sweetie. You have a nice day. Oh, I hope you have the best day ever. Come here. Let me give you some lovings. Oh, you're so pretty. You're going to have a great day. I hope you dream, and I hope you chew on your bones. I hope you have a good day.
Bye.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I see you later, okay? I'll see you later, okay? You're the best, boy. You're the best. I see you later. I love you so much. Bye.
Bye.
I'll say it again. We laugh because what? It's true. So don't act like, I don't know how to do it. I don't. Watch the dog. Watch how you treat the dog. Nobody's got to twist your arm. But this time, apply it to your spouse. Again, don't jump on them. Don't lick them. That gets freaky. But you might want to jump up off the couch, give them a hug, give them a kiss, joyfully receive them. And again, don't do it just once in a while. Don't do it when you want something or you're in trouble. Do it consistently, and you'll get consistent results. I love how this guy puts it. Watch this. Here's the whole goal. Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave. That's a tight relationship. How could that happen? Well, watch this. Here it is. Can you imagine what would happen if we'd stop dogging our spouses as soon as they came home and started greeting them at least as good as the family dog does? Again, they probably think you got bit by rabies, but the point is, do it anyway. And the good news is, when you add this to your words and now your actions, you create this kind of a home. This is awesome. Watch this.
There was one time my husband was coming home for dinner. Dinner time is very important to us. One particular day, my husband was late, and I could feel myself getting a little bit like, you're late. And Holy Spirit said, when he comes in this house, you make a choice of how you're going to greet this man. Holy Spirit says, because you have no idea the things he's had to fight today. So even though you don't know why he's late, when he walks in this house, you greet him like the king he is. Then I hear the door turn, the key coming, and Holy Spirit said, it's almost time. When he comes in this house, you decide if you are going to be the type of woman who brings life or you bring a knife. So he walked in, and I greeted him, I hugged him, I let him know I was so happy to see him, and he just melted in my arms. He said, let me tell you what happened today, what I've had to deal with. And it broke me down because there's a scripture, Proverbs 31:11. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her.
Good
when you endeavor to be a woman who follows the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit will teach you how to love, how to be safe, how to be nurturing, and how to be the type of woman where a man comes home and he knows, I fought out there, but I never have to fight in here. I'm home.
Wow. Words and greeting. James 3. Create this home. Be the person that brings life with your words, not a knife. And that when they come home, it's safe. You're glad to see them. Welcome home. You fought out there. But that's over now because you're home. You won't be fighting in here. Isn't that awesome? It can happen if we honor one another with our words, with our greetings. And here's how it works. When you do that, your spouse starts to feel special. And then they feel special about you. And then they feel special about your marriage. And it protects your heart from shriveling up altogether. Let me give you one more real quick as we close. Acceptance. Again, three-bang punch, man. It's a good one. It is just saying, how do you honor one another? You don't just say your spouse is special. You don't just back it up with your actions, with your greeting. But one of the most powerful ways to send a message of value and respect, honor, is your acceptance. And this is very clear in the scripture, right? There's a phrase that I say all the time. We all got beauty, and we all got baggage. And the problem is, in many marriages, we seem to focus on only just those couple negative things in our spouse. And then at the same time, we only do that when they got 50 great things going on for them. Then we act like we don't have nothing going on. You know what the Bible calls that? In the South, it's called hypocrite. Or for those of you in the North, hypocrite, right? This is what scripture says here, Matthew 7, right? 1, 3, and 4. Stop judging others and you'll not be judged. Why do you worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you got a giant log in your own, you hypocrite? And how can you sit there walking around with this illusion, basically? Let me get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't even see past the log in your own eye. See, this is the power of a negative focus. That's all you begin to see. Your spouse could have so many great things. And can I tell you something? They do. That's what helped you marry them. They weren't all bad. You wouldn't have married them. But see, what happens is over time, we just get focused on those things that bug you. And every couple has them. It could be with her. Maybe you married one of those ladies. She's beautiful. She's awesome. But she laughs like this. And you secretly have been hiding it all these years. You go, especially in public. You know what? It ain't going to go away. It's always going to be there. But if that's all you focus on, that's all you're going to see. Right? It could be him. He could be that guy who does roll over and he did eat chicken. Guess what? It's probably going to stay that way. Unless he stops eating chicken and listens to Pastor Billy, and then maybe things will turn around. But seriously, there's always going to be a couple things. But the problem is, see, we start this, we don't accept each other. In fact, we secretly, some couples, secretly enter into the marriage going, okay, there are some things that bug me about them. But as soon as we get married, I'm going to change them. Like this shows. Watch this.
When a woman looks at a man to marry, she looks at how much potential he has for change. And every woman has their own personal rehab center for their man.
You're going to live with me now. I'm going to take care of you. Because I love you.
I love you,
John. When a man looks at a woman to marry, he hopes she never changes.
Secrets. Secretly. Okay, this really bugs me. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut now. And then after we get married, I'll fix him. I'll fix her. I do this in premarital counseling with couples all the time. And I tell them, here's some good news. Although you probably have not verbalized this in your courtship, but you probably noticed there's a couple things that really bug you about them. But you put up with it because you got a goal in mind. You want to get married. That's okay. But here's the general rule. Take those couple things that bug you. Right? Okay. And when you get married, crank it up 10 times. It happens to every couple. And my thing is this. We applied grace to those things before we got married. Why do we shut it off after we get married? And then we don't even accept each other, even these little things. And then we're on this secret project to change them, which means you're not accepting them. And again, you're going back. Let me get those six little things that bug me. Those little specks that you got going on, and you got, and you got. But here's the power and the danger of that. If all you do is focus on the couple things that bug you about your spouse, and every couple has them, then that's all you will ever see. If all you ever focus is on the negative things, then the negative is only see, listen, and then that's how you feel about your spouse, and that's how you feel about your marriage when they got 50 awesome things going on. The example is this. Stop being a hypocrite and act like you ain't got nothing wrong with you that needs some adjustments. And the Bible isn't saying we should gloss over sin, that we need to confront. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about you might want to apply some grace and accept one another when there's a couple things that kind of bug you. You get it? We all got beauty. We all got baggage. Because there's nothing worse than coming home to a critical, judgmental, hypocritical spouse who nitpicks you to death over little things. And they don't do nothing with the log in their own eye. You know what's going to happen? They're going to shrivel. Stop judging. Start accepting. Stop treating each other like junk. Be honest. Don't be a hypocrite. We all got beauty. And we all got baggage. When we start giving each other not just special words, but a special greetings and a special acceptance. Isn't that how you want to be accepted? With your warts and wrinkles? We all got them. Then when you even get to that, special words, special greetings, special acceptance, guess what happens? Your spouse starts to feel special. Then they feel special about you. Maybe you're seeing a pattern now. And you feel special about your marriage, and it protects your heart from becoming shriveled. I just came across this week. The best way to learn, because remember, back it up to our first verse, Romans 12. It said, be devoted. That means this is serious. This is top priority. Day in, day out, I am going to demonstrate God's love to my spouse, including honoring them above me. You know how I'm going to do that? Every single day. I'm devoted to it. But I came across this week, this young couple. I don't think they planned on it, but they came across through their security camera how they greeted each other every day. And the results are obvious. Watch this. This is cool. What an example. Showed in their relationship, didn't it? That's the power of honoring one another. Because if you don't honor one another from the start, it will lead to a shriveled heart. By your words, your greeting, your acceptance, you're basically taking the wind out of your spouse's sails, saying, you are not valuable to me. You are not important to me. You're not even worthy of my respect. And the heart each day slowly shrivels. Don't wait to make adjustments. Make the adjustments today. Or you end up like this guy. Watch this. There's a man who had never once, ever opened the car door for his wife or any other woman. He felt it was a sissy thing to do. And besides, he was fond of this saying, she doesn't have two broken arms. Then after years of marriage, the wife died and the husband was heartbroken because he truly did love her. And somehow, watch this, as the pallbearers brought her casket out of the funeral service, the husband and his family reached the hearse ahead of them. And so the mortician, he was a few feet back, and since he knew the husband quite well, he called to him by name and says, hey, open the door for her, will you? The man reached for the door handle and then, whoo-wee, froze. He realized he had never opened a car door for her in his life. And now in her death, it would be the first, the last, and the only time. Quote, it was a moment for him when years of regrets came crashing down around him. Don't make that mistake. If you need to make adjustments today, do it. Do it. This is the power of honoring one another. I don't care how dry, stale, crusty it is right now. You may be sitting here with a shriveled heart. It happens. I've counseled many marriages in this state. But this is the power of honoring, getting back to that, being devoted to that. Get back to daily honoring one another with your words, your greeting, and your acceptance. And watch that relationship come to life again and have a marriage built to last. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.